The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
That's Generation Kill for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuned into Memphis Metal Mondays with me, Dirty D, self-medicating. And I'm going to tell you, the coolest thing about that song is there is one particular individual that wound up writing and performing all the parts in that music, minus the drums, you know, and I was definitely told that. And to understand where that whole thought process kind of comes into play has to come from one really talented individual. And you guys, maybe you're wondering who it is that I'm talking about. I'm actually talking about none other than Mr. Rob Machete. Now, Rob Machete himself, he's had a very long history in the heavy music scene. Okay, he's played in, you know, the legendary hardcore metal bands Propane. He's also played in Method of Destruction, MOD. Of course, and that was during the height of those bands' careers that he was a part of those, as well as also being known, of course, with thrash crossover band Generation Kill, which you just heard right here. And of course, he even took a step further by combining those efforts with the legendary pioneer who brought rap and rock together, Daryl DMC McDaniels. And of course, that was under the moniker Fragile Mortals. And of course, they wound up creating the ultimate crossover project when it was said and done. Now, what you may not know is that Rob Machete is an accomplished songwriter. He's an accomplished producer, engineer, as well as a multi-instrumentalist who's been able to not only share the world stages with some of the best in the business, but he works on a creative level with some of the biggest names in the business, in the industry. So, and of course, if you ask him personally, and I was able to kind of do a little snooping and, you know, and going around the corner and, you know, kind of seeing what he says, he'll tell you all day long that he has not even scratched the surface yet. Well, what we're going to do right here on Memphis Metal Mondays and Radio Memphis is we're going to scratch the surface with him, because I happen to have Mr. Rob Machete on the phone with me live right now. How you doing, darling?
What's up?
I'm so glad that we finally get to do this.
You know what? I was listening to the talk up about who's on the who's coming on. I'm like, wow, who is this guy? Oh.
It's like, who is that? Yeah, dude, that's you.
Oh, that's so cool. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm glad that I just got done with a session for DMC.
Oh, nice.
For him. And, like, it came right down to the wire. Like, I mean, I just got done. I was stressing hard trying to get done. I wanted to finish it, and I was able to, so.
No, I am so glad. It was something, because we were sitting here taking care of all the stuff, and I got that message from you, and it was like 10:25, and it was like, I'm done. And I was like, okay. I mean, look, I would have worked it all out. I would have made it happen, because you and I have made this plan to sit down and actually chat and talk about you and talk about, you know, your career and talk about what you've got going on. And I just, you know, it means a lot to us here at Radio Memphis. So we do appreciate you, sweetie.
Oh, I love it. I think it's awesome that you guys even know who the hell I am.
Are you kidding, man? No, it's some good stuff. Those of you who have tuned in, I am talking to Mr. Rob Machete. And, you know, the beautiful thing for us is that, because you know that obviously we, you know, for Radio Memphis, I mean, we have all kinds of shows and we do all kinds of genres. You're obviously on the metal show tonight. And, you know, one of the reasons that, you know, we thought that this was a great idea to get started with you is because of your past career and the fact that everybody pretty much knows you, you know, in the heavy metal scene. You know, they know you. They know you from Propane, and they know you from Method of Destruction. You know, one of the things, and I have to tell you, is that I'm very good at stalking. I'm very good at snooping. I told you that.
Awesome.
I told you this, man. And I was turning up some really cool stuff, but then I was kind of coming to somewhat of a dead end. I was like, okay, I'm trying to find out like his childhood. I'm trying to find out if he likes peanut butter and jelly. I'm trying to find out what side of the bed he sleeps on. No, I'm just kidding. The biggest thing, I think the closest thing I did come up with was that you did start music, you know, as a young kid, just kind of on your own. You know, is that how that worked out?
Yeah, just a neighborhood friend of my older brother's. Like, I grew up in the 70s, and I was the youngest of five boys. And there was this dude, Al DeSavo, who lived in the neighborhood. He was like a local hero. He drove a lowrider convertible, never wore shirt or shoes, had long hair or beard. He looked like Cheech Marin to me, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And all he did was smoke weed and play guitar, and everybody idolized the guy.
Nice.
The dude could catch a frisbee with his foot. You know what I mean? He was like,
oh, he's that. He's like that cool.
He was a badass, you know. And I used to just watch him play, and he always was trying to get people to jam with, and it never stuck with anyone. My brothers, his sisters, you know, a little bit it did, you know. So one day I'm on my little BMX bike watching him, like I always did. And he pulled out a second guitar and just said, you know, play this. Just watch me and play this.
Okay.
And for some reason, I was able to pick it up. But I always wanted to be a drummer. But my dad was a New York City bus driver with five sons and a wife that didn't work. Housewife. It was like drums. It would have been like asking for a Ferrari at that time, you know.
Wow.
So I was like, all right. You know, I never was spoiled, so I started leaning towards guitar, and when this guy put the guitar in my hand, I kind of was doing it like the game Simon. Like, he would point out notes, play them, and then I would copy him. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It was very quick.
You pulled out the game Simon. I'm like, I'm sorry, I remember that too. Dude, that was digging.
Yeah, that's basically how I learned to play guitar and piano and drums.
Wow.
Was like the game Simon, like it's just by memory, you know. And then the coordination, you got to work out yourself. But he noticed something in me really quick, and very soon, like after that, I was still a little kid, you know, couldn't even grow facial hair, and he was bringing me to jam sessions with these bikers and older guys, and
that's crazy.
He'd be like, well, what is this? You know, what are you babysitting? And he'd be like, just chill, you know, give him 5 seconds. And next thing you know, we're just, you know, shredding, you know, and playing for hours. And then, you know, with the one time a drummer didn't show up, and I just sat down behind it. And all the years of wanting to play drums and watching people play and playing air drums and understanding, you know, the hi-hat from the ride to the foot to the snare, to, you know.
Wow.
I sat behind it, and I was playing, you know,
So you just,
like,
you
I
just
didn't know you played drums, and I was like, well, I didn't know either, you know.
Oh my goodness, this is so crazy. So I mean, you know, ultimately you just pull up to these instruments and sit down and pick them up, and you're like, yeah, okay, let's do this, and so you just do it.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, I was playing Black Sabbath songs on my friend's little brother's Fisher Price toys. You know what I mean? Like, like a little colored xylophone. I'm playing Hand of Doom. It was just very odd, but it was like it just stuck to me, and it was the one thing that anyone who knew me then knew that something was coming. I just didn't know. You know, I planned for 21 to have a record out, and it actually did happen. So it was like I had a goal to start making records by the time I was 21, because I was, you know. By the time I got to high school, I was doing cover bands and battle of the bands and all that crap, but I never wanted to be a cover song guy, because it's like, I didn't want to be a jukebox, you know? I don't want to be background music. I want to be, you know, the main attraction.
Well, yeah, you know? Absolutely.
So I started writing, you know, horrible songs. You know, just like any comedian or actor, when they start, they're not great at it, but you gotta hone it, and, you know, and, it just little by little, it's very gradual, you know what I mean? Made my first record at 21 with a band called Mutilation.
Wow.
And, you know, you can find that on YouTube, basically. It's like on a really small label, but we were the one band in our whole town to ever get a record deal out of all the other bands, so.
See, well, there you go. That was something for you to actually put there.
I was trying to get to the studio to record the second Mutilation record. It was a snowstorm, and my car was stuck in front of my house, and I was just about to throw in the towel and just say, forget it.
Right.
And my neighbor saw me, gave me a jump start. I got to the studio in Sayreville, and Steve Evans was a producer. And back then, no one knew who he was, but now he's really big in the metal scene.
Of course.
And he was a great producer even back then. And I got there, and if I didn't get there that day, I'm not in MOD, you know what I mean?
Oh,
there's just no two ways about it. So
okay.
I got there, and then he told me that Billy, he just did the Rhythm of Fear MOD album.
Okay.
And he didn't have a band, you know, and he's like, dude, you'd be perfect for this. You know, he's looking for someone, and learn every SOD and every MOD song. And I'm like, oh my God, SOD had, you know, the first album had like 28 songs on it, you know what I mean? Like, And then there was like three MOD albums out at that point. So I learned everything before I even met them.
You're kidding. You know? How long did it take you to do this?
Not long, really. I mean,
dude, what are you like, Rain
Man? It was everything I wanted for my whole life. So I was a pothead who lived at home with his mom, and I had to be like maybe 22. You know, I just did the Mutilation record, so I had nothing else to do but that. So when he came and we jammed, it wasn't even like you made it. It was like, okay, now we got to find the drummer. And I'm like, okay. I guess I'm in. You know, and a month later, we're in Europe, headlining. You know, first show ever in Europe for me was at the Marquee in London.
Oh wow!
Paul Di'Anno is there eating our catering, and I'm like, this is unbelievable. This is crazy. You know, and we were the headliner. And while the opening bands were on, I'm looking out from the back. I hope everybody stays for us. And I'm like, wait a minute. We're the reason they're here.
Isn't that weird?
It was very odd going from opening band to national headliner basically overnight. And, MOD had never been there. SOD had never been there.
Right.
So it was fights and tear gas and cops and soldiers at the shows.
See, all that sounds funny to me because, I mean, you know, of course, I mean, I'm talking to you now, and, you know, for those of you who've tuned in, I'm talking to Mr. Rob Muschietti, and, you know, look, you're an absolute gem. You're a doll, baby. You're a pushover.
Yeah, thank you.
You are, and you're talking to me about tear gas and like roughness and stuff. I mean, I'm kidding.
Oh, it was brutal. In 92 going to Europe, it wasn't like it is now. It was still old school and skinheads and Nazis crazy punk rockers and, you know, bomb threats in the clubs. And it was just, you know, but it was beautiful. It was like, SOD had never been there either. So our whole encore was Kill Yourself, Pussy Whip, United Forces, like songs they'd never heard live.
That's crazy.
And it was just so insane. And the coolest thing ever is like, all these memories were in my head. And then this YouTube thing comes around, and every show that I could remember, except for Marquee in London, is on YouTube right now. If you just Google, if you go on YouTube and just type in my name, Rob Muschietti,
right?
Like almost every concert from that first tour pops up.
That's crazy.
You know, and it's like I get to relive it. Just like every once in a while, I'll just pop it on and be like, oh my God, that was like my virgin tour, you know?
Of course. And, for you, I mean, you know, I'm just curious though. For your start as far as in music, now your start, you know, was it always heavy metal music? I mean, because your influences didn't start like that.
I'll be dead honest with you. I'll tell you the two people, it was my brother Mike, who was like into Maiden and Sabbath and all that stuff, and that was awesome, you know. And my other brother Anthony, those guys were into, and they were into like Zeppelin and shit like that, you know.
Right.
But in high school, this dude, Dante Socia, was a classmate of mine and a bandmate of mine a few times. Him and a guy named Kenny Krause and Dave Bittman, they were playing this stuff that I didn't even know what the hell it was, because I was listening to Sabbath and all that stuff. And
sure.
Then I started hearing Metallica, Sacred Reich, Slayer, Megadeth.
Nah.
And I'm like, I'm going to be dead honest with you. My first reaction was just like everybody else's who hears heavy stuff for the first time. I can't even hear what he's saying. That's not music. And it's like it was heroin to me.
Wow.
You're afraid of it at first, and then you love it. And then it rules your life and dominates your life. But it's not heroin. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
I understand. No, I completely understand.
These four guys, they infected the whole school. And it was like, I remember being in high school listening to Seek and Destroy for the first time. Like, high as a kite. And hearing the guitar. It was nothing like that chunking guitar in Seek and Destroy when you first hear it. And then Ride the Lightning, hearing Fight Fire with Fire and being like, oh my God, these guys are really out of their minds. And then I remember being a senior in high school and hearing Master of Puppets for the first time and being like, oh my God, this is crazy. And, you know, and then the funny thing is then finding MOD and SOD and
right.
this and that. So to be in the band 3 years after I was a fan of the whole movement and the band. If you would have told me I was going to be in a band with Billy Milano or the guys in the Crumbsuckers who became Propane,
right?
You know, I'd be like, you're out of your mind, you know?
And you wound up making it. You wound up making it there, though. I mean, and how is it, you know, how is it, you know, and again, so we go back to where you show up at the studio and you know, you thought you weren't going to make it. You know, you basically got lucky, you know, and somebody, you know, helped you get your car going. And,
yeah, my neighbor. I thanked him. I saw him at the store a year ago, and I said, you don't have no idea what you did for me, you know?
Oh, wow. Really? Oh, wow.
He thought it was the coolest thing, you know, and I never forgot it. And, you know, the one thing leads to another. The Mutilation sessions lead to MOD. Then we do Europe. We come home. We make a record. We go to Europe again, and then we tour America, opening for Propane. I'm playing bass in MOD.
Wow.
So we do the tour with Propane. We get along great. We're sharing a bus. And like a month after the tour, I get a call from Switzerland. Okay. I know the club, the Bad Bond Club in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
The drummer calls me. We're throwing out our guitar player. You want the gig? I'm like, well, I'm a bass player. What
am I supposed to do, right? About?
And he says, well, MOD never sound checked. You know, Billy was like, whatever. He didn't care. Punk rock, you know? But
right.
I never got sound checks coming up in my day. So I did the sound check myself. And Propane was watching because they always did sound checks.
Mm-hmm.
They'd see me playing the drums, playing the bass, checking the mics, singing on the mics.
Oh, they see you doing all that.
So they're watching me for 30 days in a row, 40 days in a row, playing guitar on stage. And, you know, they liked my stage presence. I mean, the exact words from the drummer were, when we were making Contents Under Pressure, I wasn't even expected to play on that record, no less write anything.
Right.
And the drummer said, Rob, we didn't hire you for your guitar wizardry. We think you're great on stage. And then he's like, you know, don't even bother writing songs. Gary ain't going to use them. And I'm like, hey, you don't know that. And he's like, we got two records out. He plays all the rhythm guitars, writes all the songs, and plays the bass. Don't waste your time. And I'm like, yeah, we'll see about that.
Okay.
I wrote and I presented and he used the songs. And the funny thing is this, I still wasn't going to play on it. But then when it came time to track my songs that I had demoed, I couldn't play them the way I played them.
Oh, bingo.
Like, how did you do that? Like, what? How are you getting that sound, that chunking sound? And chunking was my thing, you know? Like,
before,
I played guitar and bass and bounced around, and, you know, I wasn't a wizard on guitar, but the rhythms, I was a fan of Scott Ian and James Hetfield, who were like the chunk men,
mm-hmm.
You know? So
sure were.
Even Dave Mustaine, so... He couldn't really play the song Gun You Down. That was the one I wrote and that he couldn't really play the way I tracked it.
Right.
So I played it. It sounded exactly how he wanted it. And then he goes, you know what? You got to track the whole record like that. And I'm like, all right, cool.
I got my way. No, 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 no.
And then that record went, you know, top 50 on the Billboard charts in Germany. I was like, wow. And we recorded it in my house, no less, you know, like.
See, there's, you know, and you're so nonchalant about it. Those of you that are tuned in, I'm talking to Rob Machete. Now, Rob, what I'm going to do is, let me do this. I'm going to stop down. I'm going to take a quick commercial break, okay?
Yep.
Coming up out of the commercial break, though, I am going to play a Fragile Mortal song, you know, and we'll kind of get into.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We're going to get into that a little bit, but, you know, I'm not done. We're not nowhere near done with you, okay? Because obviously,
oh, my Lord.
What? it's me, honey. It's me. It's D, okay?
You that's
know.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. See, calm, you know, get yourself something to drink, you know, find yourself a cool spot. No, we're gonna dive into a little bit more of what you got going on. And I have to tell you, you know, because one of the main reasons, you know, that we wanted to definitely sit down and talk with you is because, you know, you wind up spanning over, you know, a certain time period, you know, where you had a certain influence and you jump in, you know, and you get, you know, as you say, infected, you know, with a certain sound. I mean, and you wind up getting on the road and you wind up touring with, you know, some of the biggest bands and doing some amazing things in a very quick manner. You know, for somebody who was ultimately self-taught, there's like this whole prodigy thing that's going on in my head with you right now. And I'm not.
I had a lot of help along the way, and people influenced me with music. Like, you know, it was my old drummer Ron Calandrea and his sister Nicole. They loved King Diamond, that was amazing music to me, and you know, I think 10 years later I was opening her merciful fate with King Diamond, you know, which was...
That is crazy! You
know, unbelievable. Again, another weird... It's bizarre, but I love it. If I died tomorrow, I couldn't complain because I had a good run.
But you're not going anywhere.
Was, you know, I'm not done yet, though.
Yeah, you're not... Stop, man. Well, dude, we just got you here, man. Quit. All right, look, I'm going to place you on hold. Don't go anywhere, okay? I'm going to do this, get some songs played, and then I'm going to bring you right back in, and we're going to talk to you some more, all right? So hold tight for me, sweetie, okay?
Cool.
All right. And... for those of you that are tuned in, I'm hanging out with Mr. Rob Machete right here on Memphis Metal Mondays and Radio Memphis. Of course, you know, I've got some more Rob Machete coming up after the break, including some more music. So you guys don't go anywhere, all right? That's Fragile Mortals for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're hanging out with me, Dirty D, right here on Memphis Metal Mondays. Fired up, okay? That is the new anthem. And if it doesn't get you fired up, I can't help you. And I tell you, that band right there, okay, remember I was telling you earlier, Fragile Mortals, that is a combination of Jen Kill and Daryl DMC McDaniels for the ultimate thrash, rap, hip-hop crossover project, okay? And you got to hear it right here on Radio Memphis. And speaking of that, I also still have Mr. Rob Machete with me live on the phone because we're getting into his world and talking about what he's got going on. How you doing, baby?
What's up? That song you just played, crazy.
That song is...
Darryl, we wrote it the first day we met. Like, he came to my house. I never even knew the guy. And that song was written basically in its entirety first day we met. Crazy. And that and two more that are on the record, though.
Isn't that... That's crazy as hell.
That's what we knew we were going to make a record. Like, that wasn't even the song. He wanted to work on a song together, not a record. And he came, we worked on the song Lot Lizard, and he liked it. And then he presented an idea to me for a song, Bad Man. He had all the lyrics for Bad Man. So I had him track the lyrics to a drum beat that I programmed real quick. Then I wrote the music after the fact to his lyrics, which is crazy.
Wow.
And then I said, okay... We worked on Lot Lizard. You showed me an idea for your song. Now I got an idea for a song. And it was this fired up thing. And it was a chant that I was hearing at these Little League games. And kids were doing it. And this, and I'm like, you know, that's a freaking song, man.
And, you know, and it's then, that simple.
Basically, right in front of him, I tracked the music like that you're hearing right now. Just, you know, kind of spontaneous on the spot, not overthought. And that's basically why Rob Dukes hates the song, because I didn't put any thought into it. But sometimes spontaneous, I like spontaneous. I mean, also like crafting a song and working it to death. And but some things are just lightning in a bottle, and I thought that song was just that. So.
It is, and it is. And I tell you what, you know, you have to understand something too, especially the fact that, you know, the station here, you know, yes, we're worldwide and all that good stuff, but, you know, being from Memphis and, you know, some of the people that have been able to, get to hear it, you know, and get exposed to it and stuff, you know, and they listen to it and they're like, dude, man, that does make you just want to get in and jump up and throw your fist up in the air.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Absolutely.
And the guy who turned me on to Metallica is in there on the backups doing the fired ups with us.
That's awesome.
So we threw him on there as a tribute to him getting me into metal and being my friend for years. And then Mumblefoot from Guns N' Roses plays that ripping freaking solo in it.
Isn't that crazy?
I love the track. You know, it's like, it's a feel-good song.
It is a feel-good song, and that's what I've been calling it ever since. Ever since we got it, I've been telling everybody, this is like the feel-good hit for the summer for me, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's where me and Rob Dukes kind of clash a little bit, where it's like, he's into, like, you know, doom and gloom and shocking people and, you know, the darker side of things. I mean, the album is The Dark Project. I mean, that was my idea calling it that, and I don't mind exposing that stuff, too, but I like mixing it up where, you know, a whole album of that, it's just like, all right, enough already. You know, I try to really keep these records, GQ records, Frazzle records, like each song, I kind of stagger them, you know, like
right.
Heavy, long epics, and then quick, you know, lightning in a bottle songs, and then another epic.
And it works.
Too much.
You know, it works.
Diversity.
Absolutely. And well, and, you know, and speaking of diversity, so, you know, kind of going back to, you know, the trail and the train of thought that, that we were on with you. And of course, when, you know, before we took the break, you know, we, this is where you were kind of, you're talking about getting an MOD. And of course, you know, then you got propane and, you know, this, you spent so much time in, you know, in the metal community, especially, you know, and, you know, they know you for this style and they know you for, you know, these movements, you know, as far as in music, because it's not even just the point of that you're in these particular thrash styles or these particular crossover projects and stuff. Everything that you've done, I mean, literally has been part of some type of movement, or it is, you know, or some type of change.
That's
crazy. And it is.
When you're an old person, you know, you're at the beginning of things when you're this old. So,
oh, you're still young, baby. Quit, stop that. You still got a couple more miles on you, man.
Listen, I embrace it. You know, I own it. I'm a late bloomer. I mean, things happen quick, but I feel like now I'm like musically in my sexual prime.
Perfect. Absolutely, man. That's a song somewhere. Okay, I'm like, all of a sudden something just clicked in my head for that. But you know, you also, I think one of the things that this is just me being, you know, me looking in, okay, and being able to peer into your world for a second, and seeing, you know, seeing all the influences and stuff, you know, as a young person, as a young kid, you know, and of course, you know, having learned all the instruments and stuff, and, you know, and kind of, you know, growing up in the manner that you did, getting introduced to the music, you know, and the certain genres, of course, over the course of time, as you did, there's a part of you for me that has come somewhat full circle. Okay.
Sure.
And it's one of those things where, you know, you can tell where your love is, you can tell where your heart is, you know, as far as in the certain stylistic things that you do. But, you know, you have this thing where you're trying to capture, you know, four or five different, you know, different sounds, and you're trying to put it all into one song, and you're doing an extremely fantastic job doing that.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I tell you, you know, one of the things that's kind of been missing for a long time for me is that, you know, especially, and you and I, you know, we've gotten to catch up on the phone a couple of times, and we've had rap and, you know, and talking and stuff. And you figured out that, you know, I'm big on industry, you know, I'm big on music, of course, you know, because of what we do here at Radio Memphis. I'm also big on, you know, on making sure that there's something that's going to carry the torch, you know, because it's been so long since we've had somebody, you know, that understood the dynamics of music or understood the dynamics of, you know, what it's going to take in order for it to be something that you're going to look for 20 years from now. You know, this is, you know,
yeah.
And you have that touch about you, you know, and it's a very, very, you know, it's a very methodical touch. And, you know, and I really, you know, I don't think you missed your window. I think you showed up right when you were supposed to. And I think you went through the path that you had to in order to understand it. Because I'm going to tell you, you're the only guy I know, okay, that started out as far as with the 70s and the Sabbath and the Iron Maidens and stuff and went the thrash route, coming back through hip-hop and then showing up at the gates with your toolbox going, let me show you what I got, you know? And, you know, it's...
Well, now, everything I did along the way, it's like... Okay, you make one record, it's like the highlight of your life. And then you go to MOD, it's like, oh my God, I'll never go any further than this. And then the Propane, and then the Top 50 record, and then G-Kill starting it from nothing and getting, you know, number one record on Liquid Metal. And
right.
And then DMC comes in your life, and you're like, oh my God, and Bumblefoot, and then, but it's not the pinnacle. It's like, it's just, it's all a learning process to where I want to go now.
And then absolutely.
That's where I'm at. You know, I'm kind of, if you really look, I used to jump around so much, but it was just to learn from different people. And I got to be dead honest with you, Billy Milano from MOG really helped me along the way as far as learning. I wrote half the music on that record I did with him, and that boosted my confidence. And then when I got around Gary Meskill, the Propane records that I did, you know, they're like, I call them 100% records, because they're like the only records in my catalog that I have where I think I actually like every song, how they were written, how they sound.
Right.
Those two records, like, there's not a clunker in the bunch. And, you know, when I started doing Generation Kill, I was like trying to find my legs a little bit on that first record.
Sure.
kind of experimenting, and then we honed it in a little bit on the second record.
Right.
But still, it wasn't 100%. A couple of songs got lost in translation because I was kind of shut out of the production of that record. I was kind of locked out for reasons of, we tried it our way, now let's let a pro do it. You know?
Right.
But when you write songs and then you hand them off to somebody and then you're not allowed in the room, they do their interpretation of your song,
right,
mixing it, producing it, and I'm never, ever going to do that again. I love the record. I'm proud of the record, but a few things did get lost in translation.
Well, you know, and one of the things...
It ain't happening again.
And I completely... Look, honey, I completely understand why you make that statement. And, you know, and I have to... You have to understand something also, too, in that... That statement coming from somebody like you, you know, because you also write, because you also, you know, and you're also are also an engineer. You also do all of those other things. So, you know, you are probably even a little more in tune, you know, more so, you know what I mean, as far as what it is.
Well, Bumblefoot was the perfect guy for us because he's experimental, he's open-minded, and he respects me.
Right.
You know, that's a huge thing. And, He was, we had like one song had like 90 tracks. You know, most songs are 24, 48.
Right.
I just kept playing guitar, more guitars, piano, string section.
Not you.
Sections, you know, like just crazy, crazy stuff. But it was like, he just kept going because he was so excited to see someone like changing the formula for making a record.
Right.
And what happened is, you know, because I did that with him and... You would think, okay, now I'm going to use Bumblefoot for the rest of my life. No, I learned from him.
And
today I showed him a new song that I'm working on, and he writes back, you know, fantastic with thumbs up and like, oh my God, it sounds incredible. And this is the first time he heard me singing as the frontman of a band, and he was so happy for me, and he loved it. And it, you know,
that's perfect. And see, that's fine. But that's awesome. And see, the thing about it is that what you, you know, honey, when you get to that certain place in time, you know, that's what anybody wants when they see true stuff happening, you know. And this is for anybody that's tuned in. I mean, this is because, you know, as I've told you, Rob, you know, a lot, not only do we have a lot of fans that love to tune in and they love the music and, you know, they love the banter and the talk and the fun that we have on air, but, you know, we have a lot of artists, we have a lot of musicians, bands, you know, entertainers and stuff that tune in, you know, for food for thought. And, you know, and it's, you know, everybody has this whole scrapping thing in their head about, you know, where, you know, how it is that you're going to get anywhere as far as this industry. When you're finally where you need to be and you finally are working with, you know, with individuals that are all of like mind and everybody's doing what they need to do, you know, when they hear that, they're happy for you. They're glad that you're getting somewhere, especially when they know, they're like, oh dude, oh my God, you know, hey, I would go buy that. That's cool as hell. So yeah, absolutely. You know, and
it's good working with like artists. You know what I mean? Like not. You know, I had people in my life for the business end of it as well, which is, you know, you got to do that as well. And, but when it's the right people, like the people on my team now, you know, Patrick McKenna and Dan Stevenson, like, I don't really have to argue with them or try to sell them on things. They believe in what I'm doing, and it's just like, there's no... It's very hard to explain because your whole life you're trying to sell yourself
right.
to people in the industry. And then when you have two guys saying, just do what you want, we believe in what you're doing. Just, you know, if you want to go solo, do it. If you want to start another band, do it. If you want to, you know, score movies and write for other artists or produce other artists, we got your back. Just do what you do. You know what I mean? And
speaking of which,
for me, it's like at this age now to finally have that.
Yeah,
because it's like this is the business where when you're doing well, they don't want to tell you because then they owe you. You know, they think like you're going to want something. If they tell you you're too good, you know, then you're going to expect something in return, and you know, you can't be a slave if. You know, if you're treated too well, then you're not a slave anymore. And these guys, this is the first time I've ever felt like I have someone equal playing ground on my team.
Right. And that's a fantastic feeling, you know.
It's all for the better of not just me personally, but like, you know, the music that I create and the projects that I do take on. Because whatever I take on, I do it full on, no matter what it is.
Mm.
And they can see that. They watched me for 2 years before they signed me. They wanted to sign Stagel. They wanted to sign G-Kill.
Mm.
And for some reason, you know, other people thought they weren't the guys for us. And I stayed friends with them and, you know, kept them in our world as long as, you know, in a respectful way. And they just kind of were flies on the wall.
Right.
And that whole time, it was, I guess they were kind of watching the inner workings of how these two bands, Fragile and G-Kill, work. And thank God they did, because it's setting me up for the next step of my life. I'm not, you know, I love Daryl to death, you know, but
right.
He's a busy man.
Of course.
And, you know, where if you think, you know, DMC is the biggest part of our lives, we're just another day in his life, you know what I mean? And
right.
It's no disrespect to us, but I mean, you know, the guy's throwing the first pitch at baseball games the other day, and he's, you know, in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they won a Lifetime Grammy Award, and, like, you know.
It's all good, absolutely.
Sammy Hagar and Joan Jett, and then he wants to play with us. I think it's just an honor just to be in his presence and for him to hand me off ideas and say, I want you to produce this. Can you write music for this? And I'm not talking about Fragile, you know?
Mm.
I'm talking about, like, his own personal stuff that he does. And, again, gaining his trust like that, and it just makes you, it elevates your game. You either step up to I'll never be at his level, but...
Well, you don't know that.
To his level.
You don't know that.
Or you just crumble, and then I'm like, I'm... You know, I'm doing my best to keep up with his positive energy.
Yeah, and you should, you know, because, you know, you got to remember something, you know, somebody like that man, you know, has been in plenty of people's shoes, you know, that, you know, they're trying to figure out, you know, where they're going to get their next meal and where they were going to go, you know, to make things happen. And he followed his dream. One of the other things, too, and for those of you that have that are tuning in, or if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Mr. Rob Machete right here in Memphis Metal Mondays for Radio Memphis. One of the very poignant things that I do, and I work with my artists, you know, and I work with bands and stuff, or I talk about, you know, some things, as much as we do with the unsigned, as much as we do with the indie artists and stuff, and everybody on the do-it-yourself, you know, revolutions, I'm a firm believer and I'm a firm supporter that everybody needs to do it for themselves for a very long time, so that they can understand what it is that they want for their own, you know, for their own project or their own business or their own vision. And then, you proved a point, though, that when you finally get with somebody, you know, that is able to kind of grab the steering wheel for a second, so that you can do the creation and that you can do the things that you're doing, you know, that you're able to kind of elevate yourself to another level, you know, because ultimately at the end of the day, you know, you are that creative artist. You are that creative, you know, person. And, you know, and it's, you know, and I know that little piece of the nugget right there for you is another thing that's probably elevated you up a little bit.
Well, the attitude like that is what, you know, most people would have been happy just doing a song with him. And of course I would be too.
Right.
But when you have chemistry and you're in a room with somebody and things are happening, you'd be a fool not to. And it wasn't even really me who said it. It was him. He's like, okay, obviously we got something going on here.
Mm.
You know, we got to keep running with this, you know? And then the next thing you know, I'm playing with him in his corporate band, playing only Run DMC songs and a couple of songs that got rejected for the Fragile Mortal record he loved, you know?
Of course.
But because they weren't, like, you know, intricate and, you know, and plus a lot of songs, you know, If they're written solely by me, sometimes they get dismissed or overlooked or whatever, you know. But if you took out every song that I wrote alone, you wouldn't have enough songs and G-Kill for one album, no less than two, you know. So
right.
I mean, I wrote 90% of the first record, and I wrote 95% of the second record. So
right.
And the Fragile record, I wrote every song on it. So collaborating on a handful, but, you know, I like collaborating, but...
You do.
We also need...
You do.
Songs. We also need other songs to kind of counter those epic things, and...
And, yeah, and those will come, and those will come, but, you know, I mean, look... Rob, think about it. All that stuff you just talked about. Look what it set your mind frame up to do. You know, because not only you know, and as now we're getting into the you know into the tail end of this conversation. Not only are you you know have you you've come full circle. Not only are you working on you know, on these songs as far as you know for yourself. You're also kind of stepping in and you're working with other artists. You know, and you're starting to do some other things and do some producing and doing some writing. And you know your world just kind of opened up. You know. Is there anything that you can kind of bring up that you're possibly working on at the moment in time?
Yeah, there's an old legendary hardcore band that I was a fan of.
Yeah,
coming up, you know, and they were called Leeway. Now, if you're not from New York or if you're not familiar with hardcore, you might not know of them, but they were a brilliant, brilliant band, amazing musicians. I don't even know why they were called hardcore. I think they were part of the scene, but musically incredible.
Wow.
So. Over time, the band kind of just imploded because of, like, drug use and, you know, egos and problems and, you know. So the only one left is the singer, Eddie. Everybody, like, basically said I had enough because, you know, he had been struggling for years. It's a well-known thing, you know, well-known fact that he'd been struggling with heroin for a while. And
I gotcha.
But, you know, a great guy and a great singer and you know, just had an illness and somehow along the way a guy that I got a gig in the band Whiplash wanted me to go play bass with them, and I swore I wasn't going to jump ship on Generation Kill like I did in every other band I was in before Generation Kill.
Okay.
And they were dangling the carrot in front of my face. Their first show would have been with Ozzy and the Scorpions.
But
I turned it down.
Wow.
But I said I know a guy who'll do it, and this guy, Dank DeLong, I recommended him. He had never made a record in his life. He was a local guy, but he was a great musician, great stage presence. Somehow he ended up in Leeway after the fact, you know, after Whiplash. And he's playing all their old classics with Eddie.
Okay.
And, but Eddie wants a new record.
Mm.
So Dank told me that, you know, they're trying to write music for him, but nothing's getting through. And so I told Dank, I said, come by the house, I'll write you a Leeway song because I love the band.
How funny.
And I said, you can tell him you wrote it, I don't care, I'm just such a fan of the band, let me write the track, you deliver it and say you wrote it.
Oh wow.
So what he did was he went back to rehearsal and met with Eddie, and he didn't say he wrote it because he's too honest a guy.
Awesome.
He said, here's a song Machete wrote from Propane MOD, you know him from back in the day, and he loved it.
Aww.
And what that did was it opened the door for a dialogue of, you know, what would you think of writing all the music for this new record of mine? And I was
See?
Like, are you kidding? It'd be an honor. And I got to become friends with him. You know, I knew him and we crossed paths in the years, but now we're friends and we're like brothers. And
oh, nice.
I love the guy. And listen, I mean, everybody, his whole crew turned their back on him and scattered. But the guy, he's still got fight left in him.
Right.
They go play in front of big crowds because those songs are so good.
Wow.
And he's hungry and he wants, you know, he's trying to reclaim his crown. And I'm like, you know what? I'd be proud to try. I'm not guaranteeing that's going to happen. But just to be part of his fight was just like so awesome. So then what happened was then the bass player Dank came over and we co-wrote a song together.
Okay.
And I submitted it and Eddie loved it. And you know, so now I'm trying to get the other members involved in the writing process. I'm not trying to hog it up from them.
No, you're
I
trying.
I just want Leeway to have a great record, however it comes.
Nice.
So I have 7 songs written for them musically in pre-production. Eddie's writing lyrics now. I'm working with a vocalist named J.P. Smith, John Smith, who sings more like, you know, like the Smiths or Oasis or, you know, like that vein of music.
Look at you. Okay.
I'm writing and producing the music and the arrangements while he sings over it. You know,
nice.
Offering the suggestions too. But he likes the way, you know, people think I just write thrash music and rock and heavy music, but no,
you
I
don't.
Write acoustic stuff. And So I'm working with him and I'm producing him. And then Patrick and Dan, my managers, have me working with another band from South America with a girl singer. They call him RV, but I can't remember what the R and the V stand for. Raw something. But either way, I don't care. I'm writing a track for them and producing them. And I just signed on to do something for Sony Pictures, a horror movie called Blood Woods.
Oh, wow.
And this is the thing. Like, accidentally, unintentionally, a few of our songs have ended up in movies. And this guy asked, can we use a song of yours for the movie, for a movie? And I said, yeah, but that's just so, it's too easy. Let me score the entire, your next movie, I want to score the whole thing.
You're killing me. You're like, just let me write it all.
Not just the intro music and the outro music and the credit music. Like, you're taking a song off our record. I go, I want to write, when the girl was lurking around the corner, I want to write the suspenseful
that's fantastic.
Mood music. I want to, something creative to do. I love doing that stuff, and so I just took that on, and I'm doing it. I'm trying to think what else. Oh yeah, I'm calling it my solo thing because these are basically songs that I was planning on using with Generation Kill.
Mm-hmm.
But as time's going on, I'm realizing these songs aren't really suited towards the band. You know what I mean?
I got you. So you actually
and now that I sang on them, I absolutely believe it wouldn't have been right for Generation Kill. Even though we try to be experimental and open-minded, I think we've already painted ourselves into a corner a little bit.
I got you.
And we really, really made a valiant effort not to, but it was always, they thought we were just a thrash band. I put acoustic songs on the G-Kill records. I put keyboards on the G-Kill records.
Right.
Rob Dukes is singing on full songs on the GQ records, but because he was in Exodus and I was in Propane MOD,
right?
It just gets typecast. So
you said it right there. You said it right there.
You really, really got to fight for people to just accept what you are, who you are, and they put that label on you, and it just becomes who you are, and I can't live like that.
That's why you and I are sitting down tonight. Because ultimately, and what's really funny is that there's so many people out there, and you and I talked about this the other night with the whole, living under a label and, living under, a certain style or, a certain thing. And one of the beautiful things about, us getting to go pretty much around the block with you. And again, we've come full circle like three times in this conversation with you, if you realize this or not,
mm-hmm.
Is that it's the same thing as far as with everybody else. And so the opportunity for tonight is that, yes, it's metal and rock and thrash and everything else that everybody is known for, but when you figure out all of these other things that you're doing, it broadens everybody's everybody's thinking process, and they look in and they go, oh my god, it's okay, yeah, because I like these kind of songs. I like this kind of group, and I'm actually, look, in Memphis, it's really funny, and this went on for like a very long time, where there would be like these blues jams, and we're talking like with the old blues cats, Delta Blues cats and everything else too, right? And you'll look in the back of the corner of the bar and stuff, and it's like, it's all these metalheads, all right? And they've got like these button-down shirts on, and they got their hair all pulled back in ponytails and things like that, and this happened for like the longest period of time. He came around the corner, I was like, man, dude, what are y'all doing? I was like, man, we love the blues. I was like, then get up there and play blues. Who cares if your hair is long or not? I was like, do this, But what you've done, by stepping out and showing is that, you're working with all of these different genres, and you're working, not only are you making music, you're also producing music, and you're also recording music, and you're also, writing for other people. And, ultimately at the end of the day is that, it's music. It's not thrash. Metal.
Yeah. Wow.
It's,
cool thing
you love
I'm
music.
I'm applying it now
yeah.
to this thing I'm doing after Generation Kill. Like, I'm playing piano on songs, and I'm playing singing songs with melody lines and harmonies. And, like, everything I've learned along the way, it's heavy, it's rockish,
mm-hmm.
it's got acoustic guitar, it's got a clean vocal, it's got everything I want, but it also, It's me, what I mean?
That's you.
Like, what people seem to forget is, like, it's art. It's you're supposed to express yourself, not not do what the label wants or the managers want or what even the fans want. It's supposed to be an expression of your soul when you write a song or paint a painting or you know what I mean? Like, so this new stuff I'm doing, it's like a combination of everything I've done, you know, like minus Daryl's influence as far as the rap thing.
Right.
I learned so much from him and Bumblefoot musically on the Fragile album.
Of course.
I'm trying to apply, like, everything I've learned along the way to this new thing. And who's to say that's the last thing I do musically? I mean, I want to learn from that and grow some more, you know what I mean? And it's like, I picture, like, I tell my guys, you know, like, some of them are waiting for something to happen. We're working with Daryl, and they're waiting for their lives to change. And I'm like, mine already changed just from being in their presence and
wow.
learning from them. And there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, because, like, I'm all about the journey more than the destination. If you ask anyone who's had any success, the best part is the climb, not just getting there.
Like, right.
Once you're there, you're there. I mean, and then staying there is very difficult, you know?
It is.
Propane was the most successful band I was in, and we were a speck on the radar of bands, and it was so difficult just to remain on the bottom of that list. You know what I mean? It was 300 shows a year, record after record, and, you know, press tours, and just playing and playing and playing, and to barely be recognized was immense amount of work, you know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, if you just try to do what other people want instead of expressing yourself, then you might as well just go get a job, a regular job, and you know, go be in a cover band, and, you know, go be in a wedding band. They make great money, you know?
But right.
If you're driven by, like, when I write something and a kid on the other side of the planet says it's my favorite song or that was my favorite record, that's a big list. It's not like my favorite Propane record or my favorite metal record. It's his favorite record. I mean,
wow.
That's in the company of Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, you know, Metallica, Megadeth. Like, that's a huge list. And to connect with one person for something that you wrote, you know, there's one experience that really got to me. I hate to keep babbling, but...
No, it's okay.
I wrote a song in my living room. I recorded it 10 feet from my television on my little home studio.
Yeah.
So I wrote the song in that room, recorded it in the studio right beside my TV. That song made it to Europe, got signed by Nuclear Blast. We went to Europe, toured the record, came home. I'm sitting in my living room. I put on Music Choice, and the song's coming out of my TV. Now that's full circle.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? I'm looking at the album cover. I'm looking at my face on television, and I'm saying, and I'm looking at my little studio to the left of my TV, and I'm like, the song just came home. The song traveled all the way around the world
and
just came back to my freaking living room right through my TV. And I was like, most people wouldn't think like that or don't think that's cool or whatever.
It is cool.
I still get wood when I think about it. It's freaking amazing to me that, you know, if that song went on a journey, you know what I mean?
It
around
did.
The planet and came back to me in my house, like, here, I'm back home, you know, like a child, you know?
Oh.
I don't know it is your child. Like that, but it was amazing to me, you know,
and
I've been doing this for 20-something years, you know, I'm 48, and I started when I was 21, so...
That's perfect.
To still get excited when you hear yourself on the radio, or the slightest thing in a positive direction for your art, it should be just, it's just a blessing to me, you know?
And it should be, and you've been so fantastic about it. And speaking of blessings, you have been kind enough... that we're actually going to be sharing a brand new song for you right here.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, and I'm honored and I'm thrilled because you chose it to do it here first on Radio Memphis and with me on Memphis Metal Mondays. And
yeah, man.
This is a special awesome. This is a special song. I mean, do you want to tell me about it?
Yeah, like you said, it was going to be a GQ song, and I just, as time went by, I started realizing that it's really not. This is beyond even that, as experimental, and I just felt like it's time for me to get back to singing again. I've been hearing it for years. Mm. You know, some people hate my voice, and some people think it's incredible. So, again, can't please everybody. But
I understand.
Something just told me, you know what? Just do it. And the reaction so far, like, you know, on the, you know, it's kind of not, it's not released. It's not even have a band name yet. But obviously, I'm showing people, and I'm getting great, great feedback on it. And you know, it's basically about just, you know, if someone knocks you down, you know, you could either stay down or you could get up swinging.
Right.
And that's what this whole song is about, and that's what my whole life is about. Because, you know, life hasn't always, it hasn't been all that peachy. You know, like everybody sees the records and all that other stuff, but
right.
I'm like everybody else. You know, you experience loss, you experience pain, you experience everything. I bleed just like everybody else. And this song is about, don't let that crap get you down and keep you down. You get yourself up and just keep pushing. And sometimes it's negative people, negative situations. Just remove yourself from that situation and prevail. That's what this song is about. Just prevailing and persistence and, you know,
all of that.
Eliminate the negative out of your life because it'll kill you. You know, enjoy your life, you know?
And that's fantastic. And, you know, I have to tell you personally that, you know, you give me a gift, you know, just by all the statement that you made. And, you know, you remind me, you know, why I do what I do. And, you know, you have...
Yeah, it's true love. It's just love.
Absolutely.
It, and it's not bullshit. I'm not lying to you. I have no reason to lie. I'm not trying to sell
Mm-mm.
records. I'm not even trying to sell me. Why would I get on here and lie? I love making music. And anyone who knows me, my brother-in-law, you know, is listening right now, Al Johnson. And he knows. He's like...
No.
When I stopped doing it for a little while, he's like, you miss it. No, I'm good. You miss it. No, you miss it. And I'm like, within weeks, I started another band, and then I was out there. And then, you know, and now he knows, he sees. He's like, I'm like, you're right. I did miss it. I can't live without it.
And so it's like, okay.
Never again. You know? But anyone who knows me, I'm not driven by money. I'm not driven by fame. All that bull crap. I just love making music. And you know, if I'm not selling records or making records anymore, I'm going to be sitting in my house recording songs like a painter. A painter paints, a writer writes. You know what
right.
I mean? What are you going to do? It's just, it's in your blood. And if you stop, then you never belong here to begin with. You know what I mean? Then it was a business instead of your true love and passion. It's cost me relationships.
Yep.
It cost me friendships.
Yep.
But in the end, people see it now and they're like, well, it all makes sense because it's his freaking life. It's not what he does, it's what he is.
That's it. That's beautiful.
That's it. I gotta, that's my, how do I say anything after that?
You don't, you know? You don't say anything after that, but what you do is you promise me, you promise me that you will keep going because this industry needs you. You have to understand that.
No, man, I'm just going to keep going. Like I said, I'm working on a song for an MLB team right now. I'm in the car while my drummer's in the studio with the engineer doing a rough mix of what we worked on tonight, you know, and I'm doing that movie, Bloodwoods, I think it's called.
And, yeah.
You know, I'm working with John Smith, and I'm working with Leland.
You're busy, and that's a beautiful thing. You know, that's a beautiful thing. You know, your personality, your outlook, you know, and your spirit, you know, is needed.
Well, I learned life is very short, you know. I lost two brothers within 3-month period, and that was a lesson. Like, I'm living hard. I'm living like, you know, I'm trying to get as much in as possible before this happened. Now, I'm like a freight train. I'm taking everything I ever had an interest in. It's like a bucket list, except for I'm not dying. I guess we're all dying one day at a time, but...
Well, sure.
I'm doing everything I ever wanted to do while I can. You can't do it when you're dead, you know?
Right.
So,
you're right.
I learned a valuable lesson, like, you know, take life by the balls and run with
yep.
it, you know?
And you're right. And that's the
if
best.
I'm, you know, when I'm gone, if there's a little trace of me, you know, I'm in Daryl's book with the song we wrote. You know, his audio book and these records we make and working with him and doing the movies. It's kind of like, it doesn't immortalize you, but it just lets the world know you were here when you, when you're gone.
Yeah, I got it. I got it. Well, trust me, the world was going to know that you were here. Don't worry about that. No. Don't worry about that at all. But I tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to play a brand new song from you for everybody.
Oh,
and
boy.
Yeah. What? It's, I think, look, I'm excited. I'm very excited. And, you know, the only other promise I want you to make to me is that when some cool things start coming down the pike, you know, and some other things start falling into place, that you and I get to, you know, kind of do the 2.0 version of this and get to catch back up.
Yep. No, I'm absolutely. I'll come in and play acoustically on your show. I don't care.
I would love for you to. I mean, I liked it when you answered the phone yesterday when we were checking in, and you know, you almost got a radio interview, you know, right there on the spot for a job.
You know, I actually did some voice stuff on a country radio in Florida. Like, I was a caller.
See,
and then it kind of turned into like, come in the station and do the news with that voice you do.
And, yeah. You know. I was sold. Are you kidding? You're into the phone. I'm like, hey, yeah, dude, when can you start? Oh, it's all good.
Listen, I like making people laugh, too. I'm not just a musician, so, you know, who doesn't like to see people smile? Come on.
That's it. That's perfect. Well, listen, you. I know you're in the middle. You're in the middle of something right now. So I want you to be able to get back to your guys. You need anything?
Yeah, I'm gonna go in and listen, and it's gonna sound horrible. I'm gonna say, "What did you guys do? Oh my God!" No,
I'm you're sure not.
They're gonna Daryl's gonna hear it tomorrow morning, and that's the thing. I want him to be blown away. You know, I wrote it yesterday, and I tracked the demo yesterday. And now we're in the studio doing it, and hopefully this MLB team loves it. You know what I mean? And
they will.
Once you know, it's a new track, and it's just, you know, he needed something, and who does he call? You know? And
yeah.
I'm proud that he trusts me with this stuff.
Well, you'll knock it out of the park. Don't you worry about it. All right?
Well, just him liking it was enough for me. That was the victory right there. So.
Well, there you go. There you go. You call me if you need me, sweetheart. Okay? And if you...
Yes,
if anything,
I hope everybody likes the new track, and right now, it's just going under the name of Rob Machete, but it will have a band name, you know?
Not a problem. Under Rob Machete, of course, the track is all gone for good, and I'm going to go ahead and play it for everybody right now. In the meantime, baby, you go do your thing, and we're going to catch up real soon, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much, everybody.
All right, baby. Thank you, honey.
Got it.
All right, bye. Mr. Rob Machete right here on Radio Memphis and Memphis Metal Mondays, guys. You heard it. What a fantastic story. And what's cool about that is, yeah, we really didn't scratch the surface. Believe it or not, there's so much more with him, and it goes so much deeper than that. You know, it's been a real joy. It's been a real pleasure and a real honor, you know, to have him here on the station, you know, talking with us about what he's got going on. But even what's even cooler is that he has actually entrusted us to play a brand spanking new track from him. He hasn't shared it with anybody else yet. You're going to hear it first right here on Radio Memphis. So a little Rob Machete for you, and this is called Gone for Good.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.